Amen. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord tonight. Good to see everybody. I appreciate you making your way out to the house of the Lord. And choir, you're running well, doing good. Amen. And I appreciate that. Wonderful blessing tonight. And I appreciate what's going on. I want to share something with you real quick before we get into the message. And I do this on occasion, but I've tried to start doing it every revival. Just Lord, lay this on our hearts. Just a simple illustration, and I think will help you. It won't hurt you, I know that. But as much as we've gathered here tonight and heard some wonderful singing, and I enjoyed that. Do you enjoy that?
Yes,
that helped us. I appreciate that. That really helped. That helps cheerlead, by the way.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Choir, always come with your gun loaded. Amen. Come with both barrels loaded, ready to sing and let out for the Lord, because it helps you pastor. I promise you it does. It helps you pastor. So as wonderful as it's been, as good as the testimony's been, and as good as things have been, does it help our community if it don't get past the walls of the church?
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So I want to show you something tonight, and this is very simple. And BJ, Lord laid you on my heart today. And so I guess that's why you're sitting on the front row with all the other men. So I want you to come up here and stand just for a minute and turn and face the crowd. You all right? Come on. He said, no tie, no nothing. He'll be all right. BJ has a dangerous profession that he does every day. And I appreciate what he does. And appreciate the service that he gives to our community and to our county. But he also comes in contact with a lot of people. And the greatest symbol, the revival that we could have, or Calvary Baptist Church would have, would be the Word of God. Because without the Word of God, we'd have nothing to sing about. We'd have nothing to preach about. We'd have nothing to put our hope in. Nowhere to hang your hat if you didn't have the Word of God. So I appreciate the Word of God. So as much as we come here tonight, really and truthfully, this week that we have ought to be our boot camp. It gets us ready for the excitement that we're going to have after these services is over. And I hope revival starts and revival continues on. But there's some things that you've got to do. You can't plant a garden in a dry, dusty spell and expect it to grow.
That's right.
And as dry and as dusty as this land is, if we don't keep water in our churches, we're going to have some drought of the fruit of Calvary Baptist Church. And so, Brother BJ, I'm going to give you something tonight. I'm going to give you my Bible. This is yours. But you can't keep it. How many of you would like a $2 challenge tonight? I'll take one. Do you like a $2 challenge? If you get out here to the dollar store, you can buy a Bible. Guess for how much? About $2. That'd be all right. That's less than a cheeseburger, and that's less than eating. And it's not unhealthy for you. It's good for you. His job as a member of Calvary Baptist Church is to take the Word of God and pray over it. He might put it in his patrol car. He might put it at home. He might put it in his personal vehicle. And one day the Lord's going to put him in a situation where he needs to give that Bible away.
Right.
He might need to lead somebody to the Lord. He might pull up on a wreck scene somewhere and somebody says, could you help me find Jesus?
Come on.
And there that'll be. You see, if you seek the Lord, if you ask for an open door, you know what the Lord will do? He'll give you that. He'll open a door. And this is an easy, easy way. So if you'd like a $2 challenge tomorrow, you run down to the Dollar Tree, you get you a Bible, and you pray over it, and you give it away. You don't give it away just because you want to give it away and get that off your chest. You give it away because the Lord has said that's who it's for. BJ, it might be tomorrow you give that away, and it might be 2 weeks from now, and it might be a year from now, but you've got the burden to pray over that and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? God bless you. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Very kind.
Yes, sir. We come from your pastor. He said that's the right kind, and I appreciate that. That's more important than wearing a tie, by the way, having the right Bible.
Yes,
amen. Take the Word of God tonight, if you would. Turn to the book of, guess what? Luke, if you would, in chapter number 2. I don't plan it that way. Don't mean to do it that way. The Lord's just smarter than I am, and He just tells us where to turn. And we was in Luke 9 Sunday and Luke 10 last night and Luke 2 tonight. And I don't know where to look to tomorrow night. So we'll just, whatever the Lord wants us to have is fine with me. But I love the Lord, and I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm glad you're here. Good to have all these preachers, brother, here with us tonight. And I didn't come to entertain or do anything. What I just give BJ is real.
Yes, man.
What I just give him is certain. Let me give you an illustration. I've done that for the first time a few years ago, and I gave one to a lady. And it is an older lady. And she says, well, I don't hardly ever go anywhere. I don't see nobody. And I said, well, it'll be all right. Lord will use it. And so she puts it on her, takes it home, puts it on her shelf. And she said, one day it got to bothering me. And she said, you know, I've got a neighbor that walks up and down the road every day, and I've invited him to church many, many times. She said, so one day I decided to get off my stool, do nothing, and I took that Bible outside, and I marched it right out there on the edge of the road, and I stopped him, and I gave him that Bible. About 2 months later, he came and he walked up her driveway and knocked on her door, and he said, I got to tell you something. He said, that book you give me? She said, that Bible? He said, yeah, I got to reading that the other night, and the Lord saved my soul. Amen. Little as much when God is in it. Take the revival outside the doors. Amen. Luke chapter number 2. I'm going to read you something very familiar tonight, and it'll bless your heart. I believe this word of God will. Don't look at me. I'm nothing. I just want to bring to you what the Lord has given to me tonight. Luke chapter 2. We're going to start reading in verse number 8. Some of you may have heard us preach this before, and that's all right. It's just what the Lord gave us. The Bible said this, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Bible says that it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. The Bible says, and they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Thank the Lord for reading of His Word tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. You ask the Lord to help you. Ask Him to open your heart, your eyes, and your ears. Let's receive the Word of God tonight. Let's be students of His Word. Brother Ponder, you pray for us.
Father in heaven, we love you. We do thank you, God, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for this portion of the Word of God. I pray that you help us, God, now, Lord, to close out the things of the world from today. God, please help us not to worry about anything tomorrow. But Lord, for this time that you set before us, God, may we open up our hearts, our minds, and receive thus said the Word of God. I pray that you bless your servant. Give him strength, I pray this thing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, church. Amen. You sure you're glad you saved tonight?
Amen.
Amen. Luke chapter number 2, verse number 8, simply says this. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. It opens up in verse number 8. Now, the Lord got the first 7 verses in Luke chapter number 2. It begins to tell a story about His birth. You say, preacher, why in the world are you going to the Christmas story in the middle of revival? Well, I think every day we celebrate the birth of Christ. I mean, it's pretty good. It's real to me every day. So I think every day is the day we ought to celebrate it. So he got the first 7 verses. But in verse number 8, automatically the attention gets turned over to the shepherds. You think about these shepherds. If you'll study on these shepherds, you'll find a lot of messages in these shepherds. A lot of things they done. But the Bible talks about where they were. It gets down to where they were living. It plainly says, and they were in the same country, shepherds. It says they was abiding. Now that means that's where they were living. That's their abode. That's where they were taking part of. That's where they stayed daily. They stayed there with their flock. They stayed there with their sheep. They were abiding in the field. So the Bible tells us that they were out in the field. They didn't have the best of the best. They didn't have the accommodations that you had. But what they had was pretty good. Let me say this. They didn't know any better than what they had.
That's right.
Now if you had to sleep in a field tonight, you wouldn't make much of it because we're too spoiled. Amen. I mean, me and my wife won't even go camping. We think camping's a Holiday Inn. That's pretty rough on us. And that's just being honest. But these shepherds are out in the field. I'm going to say this, living a pretty common life. And everything was all right with them because that's what they're used to. And, you know, they didn't know any different. They didn't know that they may be somewhere else better to stay. Or they didn't know they might be a better type of meat they could eat. Or they didn't know about filet mignon. They just had what they had. Understand? So they're out here in this field and they're just keeping watch over their flock by night. So I find myself seeing a picture of a pretty good life. That's what they thought. It's a picture of a pretty common life. They wouldn't compare it to the Joneses.
That's right.
They wasn't trying to be something they weren't. They wasn't trying to live like something they wasn't. They wasn't climbing the corporate ladder. They wasn't a status quo amongst these shepherds. They were living just a pretty old common life. And you know, I believe they looked out and they had good water. That's what they sought after. They looked for good water. I mean, that's what a cowboy does. A shepherd in this sense, he wants to find good water so he can water his flock. They're looking for good grass, something good to eat. He wants that. And so he knows if he's got some good water, if he knows he's got some good grass, well, if he sees a pretty meadow, he's going to lead his flock to the right place they need to be so his flock can graze and his flock can water. His flock can be healthy. Thus, he can barter. He can trade for that wool to provide for his little family. Pretty good life. It's kind of like me and you. Is that right? Ain't that what most of us is doing? I mean, we're trading nickels so we can provide for our families. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing anymore. We should do that. And so these shepherds were living a pretty good life. But not only did they was concerned about feeding the flock, not only concerned about water, they was ready for danger and they were ready for harm. You see, the shepherd had some instruments that he knew would help him. And one of the things he had was his staff. It could be used for many things. It could be used to poke along his sheep, to encourage them, to poke them along. Also, it could be used like the Lord has to do me. He hooks me by the neck sometimes. Get back in line. So the Lord, those shepherds had, they had their staff with them that would help them take care of these shepherds. I like this. Not only did they have that, but you know what most of them shepherd boys had in their old cloak here? They had some salve. You know what that was for? That was to anoint them sheep.
Yeah.
Maybe they got a little something wrong with it, or maybe a cut on them, or maybe a big scratch on them, and they'd take out and they'd salve at that sheep, if you would, and they'd help that sheep out. Boy, that sheep needed that. And I tell you, when that sheep was picked up in the arms of the shepherd, and that shepherd began to take up that sheep, and it would help it out a little bit. It'd rub that salve on it. Maybe it would encourage it. Listen, I believe when that sheep got put back down, it knew that it had been in the arms of its shepherd. Amen? And so these shepherds were living a pretty good life, doing what they do. And not only that, because of that salve, and because of that leadership, because of that water, because of those green pastures, that shepherd developed a pretty good relationship with the sheep. Now, any of you that has any type of cattle knows what I'm talking about. Those animals will train you and you'll train them. That shepherd had a pretty good relationship with his sheep. They knew each other. They knew his voice.
Oh, yeah.
They knew what... Listen, you know, better than that, that shepherd, he knew what that meant.
Yeah.
Now, there's different types of bleats. And that shepherd knew that. He knew if one was hungry. He knew what danger meant. He knew what playing around meant. I mean, animals do that. If you're any familiar with them, you'll find they do that. That shepherd knew those sheep. He knew what they needed. I see a beautiful picture of a very common life. And let me tell you something about their life. The shepherds didn't know anything was missing in their life. Beautiful picture of the church. You see, when I see this, I see a church. You know what your pastor does? He's got some salve.
Yes, sir.
It's the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Hey, we just heard a 15-minute sermon in the prayer room about the Holy Spirit of God. Have we ever listened to it?
Yes.
That's what we heard. But your pastor, being the under-shepherd here, he also wants to help his flock. And he begins to love his flock, and the flock begins to love him, and they begin to have a good relationship together. They trust each other. I mean, you're trying to lead them to greener pastures.
Wow.
Amen. That's what we're trying to do. Every night again, we want to drink a water from a well that don't run dry. Wow. I mean, that's kind of how we are. And I don't know about you, but that's the job of the under-shepherd.
Wow.
And the job of the sheep is to be led.
Come on.
He ought not have to drive you. Yeah. He ought to be led. Amen. Right. And so I see a good picture of the church. And I see a picture of the relationship of the church to Christ in this family. And I have to say this. I'd say that Calvary Baptist Church and Round Hill Baptist Church and Maple Springs Baptist Church and other Baptist churches here tonight, sometimes, Brother Curtis, I believe we get ourselves in the same place these shepherds and we in pretty common ground. Everything's all right. Everything's all right, and we got our finger on everything, and everything's all right. And as long as we get a little water every now and again, a little green grass, everything's all right.
Yes.
So that's where these shepherds boy were. He was right there with his sheep. But you know, one day the Lord looked down from heaven, and he looked on these shepherd boys. I'm just telling a story for a few minutes. He looked down from heaven. He looked at these shepherd boys. He said, "You know what? They got a pretty good life down there. They're doing all right. They know how to get rid of the wolves or the conies or the things that would come up against them. And they've got their salve, they've got their shepherd's hook, and you know they're looking for their what? But you know they're all the time looking for greener grass. And all the time looking for water. And he says they're all right, but you know what? Their life's just not complete.
Well, you're helping us.
Their life's just not complete.
Oh, yeah.
They's more than what they realize. They's more than what they is out in their field. And the Lord said, you know what? I'd like to bless them. I'd like to help them.
Yeah.
So the Lord gets one of his angels. He says, hey, I got a message for you. And I want you to go send it to these shepherd boys. And I want you to go tell them something. I want you to go down there and I want you to help them. I want you to bless them. I want you to give them something. I want you to give them some direction. I want you to give them some instruction. I want you to give them some hope. I want you to give them a future. I want you to point them in the right direction. I want you to go down there and talk to them because I love them and I want to help them. They's more than the past they've been traveling. They's more than just some greener grass. They's more than just another drink of water. I want you to go down there and I want you to help them. Amen. Look at what verse number 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The angel done what the Lord said. And the glory of the Lord shone on the angel, on them. The glory of the Lord came in the midst and they didn't even know it. They didn't know what was going on. And that's pretty common ground, remember, out here in the field. And all of a sudden, the glory of the Lord shows up by this angel. And they didn't even know it. Because the Bible says they were sore afraid. The Lord says, I want you to go down and talk to them. But first thing I want you to do, I want you to manifest my glory. Go right into their house where they're at. And I want you to manifest my glory exactly where they're at. I want to say this tonight, church. I believe the Lord was manifesting a little glory during the choir service a while ago. So, listen, there's a few people that couldn't help it. And they just got out of line a little bit. Listen, the Lord will come down and manifest his glory on the church if the church will allow the Lord to help them. Listen, he sends his angel. He said, I want you to go down there and I want you to help them. So verse number 9. You know what God did? God decided to move on them. God went down there. He sent his angel to him. They began to talk to him. And I want you to look what the Lord presented to them boys. You might be in life tonight and you think you ain't got nothing.
Come on.
Look what the Lord presented to these boys. Verse number 10. And the angel said unto them, he says, fear not. First thing he offered him was peace. He says, fear not. For behold, now listen tonight, church. Let's get lost in our mind for just a few moments and let's realize that this sanctuary we're in tonight, we're just some sheep in the field. Amen. And we're just out here. I mean, we got some shepherd boys here, but we're just some sheep in the field. And you know what? We're needing something from the Lord. Let me just get out of the message for just a moment. And let me say something right quick. How many at Calvary Baptist Church tonight would like to go just a little better for the Lord? Amen. How many like to get just a little closer to God? How many like just to move up a little closer? How many like to see a few more souls saved in the upcoming? Hey, that'd be a blessing. Yeah, do you realize tonight that God Almighty is still on the throne? He's still calling the shots. Yeah, the Word of God is still the Word of God. Yeah. We still have the recipe for great things to happen within our church. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And you know what, Brother Mark?
Brother.
I believe with all my heart, if we buckle down and say, Lord, I'm in this thing, and I mean it.
Yes.
You can use me. I know you're on the throne. I've got the Word of God. And it said you love your church. And Lord, we can be in revival. The Lord's not turned against us. We're going to heaven one day. We still can see souls saved. Amen. The world does not like the church. But you know why? The church don't like the world's way. Amen. We've got God's way. God's way is victory. And I'm going to hang on to my church. Amen. So the Lord comes to these shepherd boys and he gives them some opportunities. And Brother Mark, whether the folks realize it or not, we just had a conference vote a moment ago and we all said we wanted to go forward.
That's right.
That's what we done.
That's
what we do. We're in fellowship, ain't we? All right. Here's what the angel says to these boys. He says, fear not. And first thing he does is present them a gift. He says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Has anybody ever wondered what that meant in the Christmas story? Good tidings of great joy. I figured it out. His name's Jesus. Amen. Yeah. And all the benefits that go with Jesus. That's the good tidings of great joy. The Bible says, which shall be to all people. Listen, first of all, the Lord wants to give us Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
He wants us to be saved.
Amen.
Wants
Amen.
Us to be born again. So then he goes on and he says, he said, listen, he says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a baby. He skipped past all that. And his angels went to these boys and he said, boys, you've been living real good in your field. Your sheep's all right. As long as your wife's got some of that good wool, she can make the clothes. And the youngins is out throwing, skipping rocks. And they're fishing for supper. And everything's going to be all right. But I want you to know something. The Lord has said, unto you this day is born in the city of David, a Savior. Amen. And He's not just a Savior. He's Christ the Lord, shepherd boys. And I want you to know something. We got, hey, there's a special announcement for you. So listen up. He not only gives them, He not only presents them with this opportunity. But I like to know, I like to know where I'm going when I get there, don't you?
Yes.
And not only does He present them with this opportunity, but He tells them how to know they're at the right place. He tells them here, He says, and this shall be a sign unto you. We look for road signs, don't we? He says, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So the shepherds were presented by nothing but the Word of God. Because the Word of God came to them by the angel.
Right.
And the angel told them what the Lord said. So the shepherds were represented or were presented with the Word of God. It included a gift. It included direction. It included a promise. It included a Savior. It included a new way. It included a new life. Amen.
Wow.
That's what was presented to these shepherd boys. But then all of a sudden, look what happens. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. All these angels got together and some angelic voices sounded like a beautiful choir got together and glory to God in the highest and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Bible says, and it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Silence. Now let's rewind here for just a moment.
Bless you, Lord.
These shepherds were at home. They were doing fine. Everything's all right. The sheep's doing good. We got water. That's what's normal. We got some grass to eat. That's okay. We know that the conies and the coyotes, for us common folk, we know that they're up in the cliffs and they're watching my sheep. And the first sight of a weak sheep or first sight the shepherd takes his eyes off the sheep, they're coming down them hills to devour. We know all these things is going on. We know the Lord comes to them. We know the Lord presents all these great blessings unto them. And these angels get together and they sing glory to God. And all of a sudden, shh, silence. They're gone. What in the world are these shepherds going to do? I can just see as they sit there and look at each other and they probably, what in the world has just happened right in our field? We had everything in control in our field. We had our finger on everybody. I can name every sheep. I know the neighbor's sheep. I know the sheep on the other holler. I can tell my sheep. They know their name. I know them by name. I know their bleat. But something has come right in the middle of my field and has presented itself to me. And not only was they silenced, they was a burden. They was a burden. How many of you get those telemarketer calls 43 times a day? Click. I don't think nothing else about that. But this call the Lord made from heaven, it came with a burden. And they couldn't hang up on them. They couldn't delete it. They couldn't add their name to the do not call list. They were burdened. So what are they going to do? What in the world are they going to do? What's going to happen to these shepherds and what's going to happen in the day and time that we live in? Well, let me ask you a question. You pastors that's here tonight, can I just be honest with you and ask you a question? Do we see our church sometimes the same situation as this flock was? Do we see our churches sometimes the same situation as these shepherds was? Remember, everything was going fine. We had some water to drink, had some grass to graze on. Everything's just fine. Nothing needs to change, preacher. Well, erase the word change and put the word improve.
Go ahead.
Amen.
Amen.
I believe we see a picture of the church, don't you?
Right.
So if the church gets in that situation sometimes, you say, preacher, you really believe that? Well, we'll see, to these shepherd boys was presented an opportunity. You know what the church does? You know what the church has? Opportunity. These shepherds boys was presented with the only way to live, and that's Christ.
Right.
You know what the church has? We have Jesus. These shepherds were promised that they would find this babe if they would seek after him and go after him. You know what the church does? It has the promise to find the Lord. If we seek after him, we'd go after him, if we'd look for him, if we desire it, we have all these promises. I see the picture of the church with these shepherds. So what's the shepherds going to do? Well, let me ask you, what's the church going to do? We've got our facility, second to none. We've got the Word of God. We got God on the throne. We got folks that's willing to raise angelic voices up to the Lord. We got the musicians. We got the Word of God. We got the preacher that's got a backbone like a saw log. Amen. Church, you missed an opportunity. Amen. We've got all these things together. So what are we going to do? I mean, it looks to me like we got all the ingredients to have a big party. Hey, we got all the ingredients for let me tell you something. It's called a soul winning party. Amen. We got all the ingredients together for something great to happen. So why in our churches having great things happen? He said, well, it just can't happen in 2019. Your God ain't dead. And yes, it can happen today in 2019. Yes, it still can happen. Amen. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Well, what do we need to do? I think I've got the answer. I think we should just give up. I think we just give up. Ain't that what Mr. Satan says? Well, he's a liar. Ain't that what the crowd down the road says? Give up. They ain't been saved. They wouldn't say that. Amen. Ain't that what some say? Just give up. This old God ain't worth it. The old religion thing, it ain't worth it. I'll agree with that one. And they'll say things like, well, the church ain't doing nothing. It ain't going nowhere. It ain't making a wave like it used to. Why don't you just give up? Why do you go to revival? Why do you go to Bible school? Why do you have events? Hey, just give up. That's what Satan, that's the language he has put in the world. Well, I think we'll do a little bit of that tonight then. I'm going to show you some things the shepherds gave up. Bible says, these shepherd boys are sitting here and all of a sudden they look at each other and I'd love to have been a fly on the wall. All of a sudden they look at each other, what in the world has just happened? But you know, I can tell that when the angels left them, they didn't leave them with just a memory. I can tell for sure that the angels left him with a burden. Because see, when you're burdened as a child of God, you're going to do something. When you get under Holy Ghost conviction, I'm talking about as a Christian, it don't matter if you're a preacher or if you hold the pew down. Listen, when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you and your burden, you're going to move. Amen. You're going to have some compassion. You're going to do something. Hey, because you can't help it. Because God's moved in and God's cleaning the house and God's doing something and God wants to help somebody and God wants to encourage somebody. When you're burdened, you're going to do something.
Amen.
So the Lord, through His angel, He left them with the burden. How do you know that? Because the first thing they gave up was their place. It says, let us now go. Boys, I don't know about you, but we need to get up where we're at. God wants to change some things. We need to get up where we're at. Well, we need to go see what the Lord is doing for us. Hey, let us now go. You know what they did? They gave up their place. Now, we are in a Baptist church, ain't we? I'm not talking about giving up your place on the pew. And I'm not talking about church hopping. I don't believe in that. Amen. I'm talking about giving up our place so that I'm not a roadblock. I'm talking about giving up my place so I'm not a hindrance. I'm talking about giving up my place so I don't hinder somebody else or slow somebody else down from serving the Lord, from hindering the Lord. You see, what happens to us as good old Baptists is this right here. We got a root system. And it goes deep and it spreads out and it gets a hold. And you know, just like that tree by troubled water, we ain't going to move. And something fresh we don't allow. Hey, when it's godly, it's all right. We're not talking about changing the Word of God. We're just saying this. Your pastor might need to come in and preach first Sunday. Have Sunday school at 11. That'd be all right. Hey, man, that'd be all right. Hey, listen, what I'm saying is this. We get so rooted and grounded in our place. We get plumb choir in the Lord. We get peculiar in the Lord. The Lord's wanting to help us. He's wanting to give something fresh to us. Hey, these boys said, we got to go. The Lord's doing something. I wish the church would get in the place where it says, hey, Brother Mark, we got to go. The Lord's wanting to do something. We got to get out of here and get doing something for the Lord. Lord wants to save souls. You see, that only works if you care about people dying and going to hell.
Come on, brother.
If you don't care about people dying and going to hell, it don't matter much to us. But they said one to another, they said, let us now go. And you know what I like about this? The Bible does not say that some of them stayed behind. They went together. Amen. You know what's hard about this pew right here? If I'd have said, man, I want you to pick this pew up and I want you to run you on our way with it, and don't you stop till you hit the far end wall. And Brother Ponder grabbed hold of this end and he went that way as hard as he could.
Right.
You're not going far. And you might be five or six of you here, and I know y'all can outdo him, but I tell you what, you ain't fighting Brother Ponder, you're fighting the devil.
Right.
And when he grabs a hold to the end of the pew going the other way, you've got to fight.
Yes, sir.
And it might take all four or five of you on your knees seeking, praying, agonizing with God, begging, pleading, asking God to help you. Hey, listen, you'll never beat him on your own. You're going to have to get a hold of the Lord for the Lord, for God to move this place. Amen. Coming together, saying, Lord, we need to move. God, would you move us out of our place? Bible says, let us now go. And you know what they done? They got up and went.
Yes.
Bible says, let us now go even to Bethlehem. And we want to see this thing. You know why I believe a lot of people don't want to move out of their place? Because they ain't concerned about seeing much. There's a whole lot to see in the house of God. Amen. You know what? There's a fulfillment of the Word of God. And then listen, we've seen a lot of things, but I don't think we've seen it all yet. I believe the Lord still got some saving to do. I believe He's still in business and God still wants to do some great things. And I don't know about you, but let me make it. Can I make an announcement? We in conference again. The Lord is not done with Calvary Baptist Church. Amen. Hallelujah, preacher. I believe the Lord can still do something around the house of God. Hey, let's get up and move from the place we are and let the Lord help us. Let us now go. Listen to this. You see these, I don't know what all the state that these shepherd boys was in. But I imagine in my own mind, now we're out in the field, remember. I imagine in our mind that sometimes you get tired of grazing. You ever get tired of grazing? Be honest. You ever get tired of grazing inside of Calvary? We got some people I know get tired of grazing inside of Round Hill.
Come on.
Sometimes the water a little stale or lukewarm. Sometimes it feel like you got to let the noose off so you can preach. Sometimes you got to get the stranglers off so you can sing. Sometimes we just get tired of grazing. And when we get tired of grazing, you know what? Sometimes we just quit. And you know what I like to do when I get tired? I like to sit down. And I say, well, if I could just stay in this place for just a few minutes, I'd be all right. I'm going to tell you something. Serving the Lord ain't coming home from work. Serving the Lord is continuing. It's every day and it's all day. And listen, when we sit down, you know what Satan does? He'll prop your feet up for you, bring your lemonade to you, and say, you just sit for a spell. I'll take somebody to hell while you don't care. Amen. That's exactly what the devil will do. Listen, I believe tonight we need to decide, I'm going to get up and go for the Lord. I'm going to get out of my place.
Amen.
My place of comfort.
Amen.
They gave up their place. The Bible goes on. You see, a lot of people won't give up their place because they ain't got a vision. I ain't talking about you got to give up Calvary and run to Maple Springs. That's church hopping.
Yeah.
I'm talking about getting in line with the Spirit of God so you ain't in the way.
Amen.
Amen. Let me say this tonight, and I believe I'm preaching right. You can be saved, child of God. Don't matter if you've been saved. Listen. When I got saved, I didn't know nothing about the Holy Spirit of God.
Come on.
All I know is I was glad I wasn't dying and going to hell. Hallelujah. I knew what the Lord had done. But as I begin to grow and go with that process of sanctification, I begin to learn a few things. And you know what I've learned? As a child of God, I've learned that it's impossible for me to come to the house of the Lord when I've been praying and I've been studying and I've been reading. It's impossible for me to come and not feel nothing. You know why? Because the Lord, that Spirit, it dwelleth within me. Amen. I have become the power to become the sons of God. I know what's inside of me. And so therefore, when I come to the house of God, I can't come and sit still because somebody bigger than me has made the arrangements for us to do something. Hey, and for us to go for Him. Hallelujah. Listen, if we get out of our place and seek the Word of God. It goes on tonight, and not only did they give up their place, I like this. Boys, we're going to have to go, is what it says. Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. And look at this. And they came with haste. Somebody give up their pace. The Bible says, and they came with haste. You know what they done? They put on their running shoes for Jesus. You know, they got to going. They got out and they got to going. They said, I don't know about you, but I've got a burden. If that angel left in my heart, I've already left the field. I ain't worried about them sheep for a little while. And you know what? I was told if I'd hurry up, I'd see Jesus. I was told I needed to get there. And all I know is I've got to go. And so they took off running toward the way that the angel told them to go. And the Bible says they came with haste. You know what happened? That's exactly what God said would happen. They found Mary and they found the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know what happened when they hurried up? They got Jesus in their life. Hey, what a blessing when we hurry up. The Bible says, and they came with haste. You see, they gave up a pace. We're living in a day where running for Jesus needs to be our goal. I'm going to put in a request tonight. Where's the choir leader at? Run to Jesus. Last time I was here in revival, y'all sung that. I don't know the name of it. Macy sings it. Macy request.
Thank you, Lord.
They give up their pace.
I like it.
Because the direction they've walked it wouldn't get them where they need to be.
That's right.
They needed to get somewhere else.
Yeah.
And the only person that saw that goal where they needed to get was Jesus.
Right.
And the Lord said, hey, if you'll give up, you'll pick up your pace a little bit. You'll get to where I want you to be. Amen. If you'll just get up to your pick up a little bit. I mean, pick up a little bit. Sunday school teacher, pick up a little bit. Deacon, pick up a little bit. Pastors, pick up a little bit. Amen. Prior warriors, pick up a little bit. Those that sit on the pew, hey, pick up a little bit. Amen. Hey, the Bible tells us we're to run a race. And as we run the race, what are we supposed to do? Let's set our eyes on the goal. Amen. Hey, that's Jesus looking to heal the author and the finisher of our faith. What is it we need to do? We need to pick up our pace for the Lord. Hey, and run the race.
Amen.
I'm afraid a lot of churches could put on their sign, we're such and such Baptist church, and we run at a snail's pace. Never doing anything for the Lord. I made a comment a few years ago at a church. And I mean it out of love. But at that time I was probably in my mid-30s. And the closest person to me in age was at least 40 years older than me. And I asked a question. I said, church, if something don't change, what's going to be left of this building in 20 years? And they got so mad at me. Guess what happened? That generation passed on. And as far as I know about that community, we can look back in the Bible where Joshua died and it said there rose another generation and knew not the Lord. What's happening to that community now? The light's gone out in the church. Is it because the Lord's not alive? No, it's because people let it die. People let it die. We don't pick up our pace for the Lord and we don't realize we're living in the last of the last days and pick up our pace and get on fire for God. I tell you, this church will not exist the way it's existing on spare time and pocket change. It takes going forward. It takes picking up your pace. And I dare say everybody in this building tonight could stand to sprint a little harder for Jesus. Picking up our pace for the Lord. You see, our Bible, it defines our Christian voyage as a race. So why don't we run? If the Bible tells us that our Christian voyage is a race, listen, against good and evil, it's a race to... I'm not racing to get away from the devil. Because my salvation's in his hands. In the Lord's hands, amen. Right. Listen, our race should be to do something for the Lord. I mean, to get up every morning, ready to go. Lord, I will pick up my pace just for you. A Christian that would say, I'm not concerned about my pace. I'll say this tonight, they've got troubles. They've got troubles. Bible goes on to this. I like this. Two more things and I'll be done. They seen Mary, they seen Joseph, and they seen the babe. The Bible told them that. The Bible says that. Lying in a manger. The Bible says that when they had seen it, they made it known abroad. The saying which is told them concerning this child. You know what happened to these boys? They let go. They picked up their place. Let go of it. They let go of their pace, changed their pace. And then because God is who God is, because He promised like He promises, and He fulfills His promises, they found exactly what He told them they'd find. They couldn't help but to give up their praise. Because the Bible plainly says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad. Oh, that means they whispered to the person beside them on the pew. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I've seen the Lord.
Well, well.
Hallelujah. What does abroad mean? That means cross the big water. That's what that means. You know what happened to them? They got so excited about finding the Lord. They got so excited about what they see. They couldn't help it. They had to tell somebody about what was going on. Hey, I was just a little old shepherd. I'm nothing. I smell like the dirt of this world. I farm sheep for a living. But the Lord came to me one night. It showed me if I changed my ways, hey, I could find Jesus. I went and done exactly what He said I needed to do. And when I got there, I found what I was looking for. Hey, my life has been changed. I'm forever the same. Never the same because of what I was given by Jesus. And they couldn't help but to make it known. You see, it's easy to sing in the choir. But I gave that Bible to BJ for an illustration. Now he's on his own tomorrow with the Lord.
Come on.
And you've got to make it known. Just you and the Lord. Am I? You know, BJ, you got ever? I'm sure you got a shelf at home. You got every right to go home and put that Bible on a shelf. And it'll stay there. And it won't grow old. It'll stay there. Or you can take it out of that place, pick the pace up with it, and go tell somebody just exactly what Jesus done for you. Give up your praise. Preacher, I just can't praise. Can you not tell somebody what the Lord's done for you?
No.
Has He not done enough for you just a little bit to say, I just can't help but tell you what the Lord's done for me.
Amen.
I just can't help but tell you how the Lord's blessed our church. I just can't help tell you how the Lord's been blessing our pastor and giving him messages. I just can't help but tell you about this and our altar's getting full. And I just can't help but tell you they hardly know where to see it. I mean, the Lord's moving so real. I just can't help but tell you every time I walk in the sanctuary, I want to cry. And I just feel the power of the Spirit of God. I just can't help but to tell you that something's happening at the house of God. I don't know what all it is, but I don't want to miss. I want to be there. I want to be a part of it. I want to see the Lord move. I just can't help but to tell you, we had somebody saved last night. Hey, we're going to have some more saved because we're looking for it. I want to see it. I've asked the Lord for it. I just can't help but just to praise what He's done for me.
Amen.
What a blessing. Church, we got to give up our praise in the day and time we live in. Hey, listen, the liberal crowd sure will speak out. Amen. The ones that don't love the Lord, they'll speak out. The ones that hate the Lord, they'll speak out. The ones that wants the church to die, they'll speak out. Why can't we speak out? Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved by the grace of God. It won't hurt a bit. Walk out your door tonight and say, thank you, Lord, for just throw her hands up in the air and just let her rip. People say they're crazy. Say, thank you. Amen. Hallelujah. That's right. But what happened? Preacher, you really believe this will mean anything? I've told you a story out of the Bible.
Right.
I ain't told you a story I made up.
You're right.
Preacher, you think this will help anything? You ever seen the church break out in praise? You ever seen the church on fire for the Lord? You ever seen the church doing something great? Did it change things?
Oh, yeah.
Did it help things?
Oh, yeah.
Did it improve things?
Yeah.
Well, see, I must believe, in the back of my mind, these shepherd boys probably had some youngins. That might have been who took care of the sheep while they was gone. So if they had youngins, that means they had wives. And they might have took just a second to say, boys, y'all got to tend these sheep. Honey, I'll see you in a few days. But all I can tell you is God's moving, God's in the midst, and I've got to go.
Wow.
And they took off. So these shepherd boys, they finally come a time, there's eggs in that scene, and it was time for them to leave Mary and Joseph and the baby. They's a glorifying and praising the Lord. And I can't help think one of them might look over at the other one and say, you know what? You wait till my honey hears about this. You wait till I go home and tell my youngins they's something better than tending sheep. You wait till we get home and I tell my youngins, hey, I got a drink of something that'll never grow old. Hey, man, I got something better than green grass. You wait till I get home and tell my youngins, hey, daddy ain't the same man he used to be. You wait till I get home and tell my youngins exactly what the Lord's done for me. You just wait and see what happens on our field. Because see, they was going back to the field. They was going back to the same old field. The Lord didn't save the field. He didn't save your job. He didn't save the home you live in. But think about this. The Bible says, and all they heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds, Mama might have been sitting over there, she might have been fixing some wool. One of them boys might be over there trying to pick up daddy's staff and keep him sheep in line. And all of a sudden they hear that gate open. Creak. All of a sudden that gate shuts. And you know what? Daddy don't say, Hello, honey. Honey, I'm home. You know what daddy's doing? The Bible says this, and they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know what happened when they gave up their place and gave up their pace and gave up their praise? I tell you what happened. In turn, it changed their home. Amen. You know what happened? Oh, honey, I'm glad to see you. But let me tell you what I just experienced. Amen. Let me tell you what you can have also because of what was told to me.
Amen.
It changed their life. All they had to do was one day, while under that burden, I've got to change the place where I'm at. I've got to change the place where I'm at. I've got to pick up my pace. For too long, I've been burdened. For too long, I've not run well with the Lord. For too long, He's tried to use me and I've been half-hearted. That happens. Deacons, preachers, Sunday school teachers, mamas, daddies. For too long. If we want this thing to go forward, we want true revival. I'm not here to give you a recipe for revival. I'm concerned about the existence of the church.
Amen.
Going forward. Beyond tomorrow night. Beyond this week. Beyond 2019. These youngins that sung up here last, for long, they're going to be singing first.
You're right.
The message was already told in the prayer room that folks is dying out. The next person standing up, somebody's taking up the mantle. And I'd have to say for some of us too long, we've not been interested in picking up our pace for the Lord. And giving our praise to Him. When you do those things, the worst thing that's going to happen, it'll change your home. It'll change your life. It'll change your marriage. Thank God it'll change your church. I don't know of one thing wrong with Calvary Baptist Church, but I know Calvary Baptist Church, along with every other church, could be better. And Jesus is the answer. If we've got the answer, why don't we just go to it? Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Heads bowed and eyes closed tonight.